The following program is rated MC9. Some material may be too spooky for children under 9. We suggest listening together as a family.
You're listening to Mr. Cemetery's Terror Tales. Good evening, children. My name is Igor. Mr. Cemetery is a little tied up at the moment. And he can't tell you tonight's terror tale. So, I'll take care of it. Tonight's tale is about a boy who hears strange noises while he plays a game of hide and seek. And I call this one, The Steps.
When I was a kid, my parents would sometimes bring me down to my aunt and uncle's place to stay for the weekend. Mainly, I'd spend the time playing with my two cousins who were around the same age as me. They lived on a small farm with plenty of open space, and we could run around and do pretty much whatever we wanted. And if we thought we could get away with it, the three of us would sometimes cross over to the neighboring farms about a half mile away. It had been abandoned for decades with a scattering of decaying buildings and other structures still on the property just begging to be explored. This was, of course, a gold mine for three adventurous young boys such as ourselves. Especially after my cousins told me the stories about how the place was haunted. It was a pretty classic fare. Man goes crazy, axe murders his entire family, hangs himself, returns every night as an angry spirit looking for his victims. Good, grisly stuff. Even at the age I knew they were probably making it up, or at least embellishing old rumors. But seeing as how the setting lent itself so well to such tales, and I allowed myself to buy into it. One afternoon, we decided to play hide-and-seek. When it was my turn to hide, I ran off into a flimsy brown barn that had living quarters on the top. And I climbed the stairs and was looking for a good spot. There was still furniture inside, musty and rotting, and personal belongings laying scattered across the floor. I maneuvered over broken dishes and tattered clothes and crumbling books, eventually coming to a small bedroom of a closet. Jackpot. There was a long black dress still hanging on the rod that I could hide behind. I stepped inside and managed to force shut the folding door. My only illumination was a slit of sunlight that shone through a crack in the door and from a nearby window. And I crouched down with my knees tucked into my chest and waited. Some time passed and there was no signs of my seekers. I waited some more, debating if I should go out and just give myself up. After nearly an hour, this was starting to get boring and my head drooped. I woke with a jerk. It was pitch black, drowsy and confused, and I forgot for a minute where I was and what I'd been doing. As it slowly came back to me, the realization that it was now night, and I had been abandoned here, filled me with sinking dread and a pit to my stomach. I tried to get up, but the sudden cramp in my calf kept me grounded, and I squirmed about waiting for it to pass, when I heard a door slam shut downstairs, and instantly froze. Was it one of my cousins? There was a brief period of silence and footsteps at the bottom of the stairs. Not just footsteps, the thud too. After every other step, these weren't the footfalls of a child. They were slow, heavy, and deliberate. And I held my breath, praying that they would go away. They did not. The noises continued to ascend until they reached the top of the stairs. After another moment of silence, the walking resumed, this time along with a steady scraping sound, like something heavy being dragged across the floorboards. The footsteps made their way through the breeze and wandered aimlessly through various rooms. I thought I could smell something faintly putrid. The constant scraping sent cold shivers down my arms and back. My worst fears were realized when the steps reached the bedroom doorway. They got closer and closer and finally stopped directly in front of the closet door. I couldn't see a thing. After an agonizing pause, they continued on over to the other side of the room and down the doorway again. They faded down the hallway. I waited for what seemed like an eternity. There was no more sounds now, and I was trying to build up enough courage to open the door and flee. Three things happened simultaneously just then. I was bombarded with a smell I can only describe as fresh roadkill. I heard raspy breathing behind me in a dark closet, and I felt hot breath against the back of my neck. That was enough for me. I hurled myself out of the confines of that nightmarish space, relying on memory and pale moonlight just to navigate me through that dark house. All the while, I heard footsteps chasing behind me, closing in with terrifying speed. It was a clumsy, torturous escape, full of trips and bumps and blind stumbling, and I never looked back. At least not until I burst out that front door and into the country night. And when I did turn around, I saw absolutely nothing. There were no footsteps and no one chasing me. That didn't stop me from running, though, all the way back to my aunt and uncle's house. There was a police car in the driveway when I got back. And my parents were there, too. Worried sick. Everybody demanded to know where I'd been. Apparently, when my cousin still hadn't found me by that evening, they returned home to tell their parents. Eventually, the police were called in and informed me that they had already scoured every building on the farm. They insisted that I was lying about my whereabouts, but none of it made any sense. It wasn't until years later that one of my cousins filled in the final piece of the story. He and his brother spent many hours searching for me, like they said, but the part they didn't tell anyone was that they thought they spotted me in the window of the bedroom I was hiding in. When they got closer, they saw it wasn't me. A young boy neither of them recognized was smiling and waving down at them and gesturing for them to come upstairs. That's when they ran back home, and all of this while I was asleep in the closet.
Wasn't that a chilling... Uh-oh. Looks like my rope didn't hold. I guess I should have joined the scouts, huh? Ow. Sorry about that, kiddos. You just can't get good help these days. You know why Dr. Finkelstein was never lonely? He was good at making friends. That's a stupid joke. Shut it, Igor.
It's Igor.
Whatever. That's all the time we have for today. Join me over on Instagram at Mr. Cemetery for more spooky fun. Until next week, kiddies.
Remember to stay spooky.
Hey!
Bye-bye.